today. I am excited to be here. It's exciting to be here with my beautiful wife. It's always good to come and visit and be able to just have the privilege and the honor to be able to speak to the church here whenever we are down. So, Verna, thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you for just a great friendship over the years. I definitely enjoy just being here, spending time, and, you know, I recently celebrated my 40th birthday, and it's been it's been exciting, and that's what really, in many ways, triggered the name change for me, because you know, I've been thinking about what am I going to do, you know, reflecting on my life, all 4 decades of my life, you know, it's been sort of coming. I've been thinking about it and praying and talking to my wife, because what happened is, as a 19-year-old, as I was invited to church, I just sort of, you know, thought, man, you know, I'll use the name Cornelius instead of Temba. Now, my family has always referred to me as Temba. That's my name. It's not a new name. It's always been there. But, you know, I came into the church and I saw all the white people and, you know, I thought, man, you know, I got to be relatable. I got to give them something easy here, you know. You know, and so, but over the years, you know, my family started coming to church, and of course, you know, they come in and they're like, hey, Temba, who's this? Oh, yeah, right, your other name is Cornelius. So, you know, but they kind of wondered, like, what happened? Why the change? And I thought, man, you know, in reaching out to my family, I've got to blend the two families together and make sure that I use Temba. Because you are my family, really, you know, and so that's really what inspired the name change. If you speak to James Lapperman, he has a different story altogether. But this is my story, so we're gonna open with a word of prayer, and we'll get down into our message today. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Holy God, thank you so much for this beautiful and glorious day. Just to be here and just to be able to hear from your word and to sing, to worship you. We are so grateful for just how much you love us and how you care about each and every one of us. And just the miracle of just being alive, God. We pray that you will be with this message. I pray, God, for the words. I pray for the scriptures that we are going to read, that they will really reach to our hearts and transform us, God. I pray for all of this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I, given that, you know, we are approaching, or we are in the festive period, I thought I would talk to you today about gratitude. You know, Americans have one day in November and they celebrate Thanksgiving, but we have so much to be grateful for. You know, we celebrate an entire month, and we devote an entire month just to think about things that we are grateful for. So that's what this month is all about in December. And so I thought this would be a great a message for us to be able to dig into. Now, I just stumbled on a Harvard Health publication that was released in November of 2011. And this is what they had to say. You know, Harvard is like the Stellenbosch of America, right? All right, so let's hear what they have to say here. They say the word gratitude is derived from the Latin word gratia, which means grace, graciousness, or gratefulness, depending on the context. In some ways, gratitude encompasses all of these meanings. Gratitude is a thankful appreciation for what an individual receives, whether tangible or intangible. With gratitude, people acknowledge the goodness in their lives. In the process, people usually recognize that the source of that goodness lies at least partially outside themselves. As a result, gratitude also helps people connect to something larger than themselves as individuals, whether to other people, nature, or a higher power. So this is their finding. Basically, they say, in positive psychology, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. People feel and express gratitude in multiple ways. They can apply it to the past, retrieving positive memories and being thankful for elements of childhood or past blessings. The present, not taking good fortune for granted as it comes, and the future, maintaining a hopeful and optimistic attitude, regardless of the inherent or current level of someone's gratitude. It's a quality that individuals can successfully cultivate further. Now, that's what, you know, the smart people at Harvard have discovered about gratitude. Now, we're going to look at, you know, what does God say about gratitude? Does he even say anything at all? You know, it's amazing when we get into the Bible, you know, you realize that there is nothing that really affects every aspect of our lives like gratitude. You know, not much affects your walk with God. Your love of life, your peace of mind, your relationships with others, like being truly, deeply, consistently grateful. It affects every area of your life. It affects your life within, around, above, you know, below. Every dimension of your life is affected by your level of gratitude. You know, I'm inspired by the Apostle Paul. And as you read through his letters, sometimes, you know, you kind of forget the circumstances under which he wrote some of the letters. When you go through the book of Ephesians, you know, you really, unless you read and he reminds you that he's in chains, but when you look at the content itself, you don't realize that he was in prison at the time. You know, my first point today is that gratitude is a biblical expectation. You know, there are over 50 commands in the Bible just about gratitude. You know, God knew about the benefits of gratitude before research had been done on the positive effects of gratitude. God created us. He knows us. He knows that he created our heart to respond to gratitude the same way a metal object is attracted to a magnet. Consider Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7. The Bible says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." In Colossians 3, verse 15 to 16, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." In Colossians 4, verse 2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." In Philippians 4, verse 5, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." 1 Timothy 2, 1, "I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those in authority." In Colossians 3, verse 17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Ephesians 5, verse 19, "Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, this one gets me all the time. It's like, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Wow. All circumstances? This is God's will for you? I mean, consider his audience, right? Some people had seen their relatives being fed to lions. They had seen people being torn apart by wild beasts. Perhaps some of them, their husbands, had been set alight. And he is appealing to them with one prescription. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes we wonder about what God's will for our lives is, right? You know, single people sometimes wonder, you know, man, you know, is there someone out there for me? You know, will I get married one day? What kind of person will I get married to? You know, students wonder, what kind of job will I do one day? Will I make a difference with my life? You know, teens wonder, you know, will I ever do great things with my life one day? What does God have in store for me? You know, it is easier to give thanks when things are going well in our lives, right? You know, when you're just experiencing a lot of good things and good fortune comes your way, it's easy to say, man, this must be God. But when things are tough, when we go through some challenging diagnosis in our lives, it's very difficult to give thanks. And the Bible says, give thanks in all, not in spite of your circumstances, but in all your circumstances. That is God's will for you and I. It is a biblical expectation that you and I would give thanks 24/7 in our lives. You know, it doesn't mean that we are being naive. It doesn't mean that we are not being real with ourselves. It doesn't mean that we do not mourn when we experience losses. It just means that we obey God's word, even if it is not the most natural thing for us to do. You know, are you cultivating a heart that is grateful to God? Are you a thankful person? You know, gratitude is not a function of what we have or do not have. Well, we have been given so much in life, right? Big things and small things. You know, there are some big ticket items that we have in life. You know, I think about my life and I think, wow, you know, I have been alive for 40 years. The first 20 years of my life were really rough. You know, at 5, my parents divorced. I lived in an old township in the Val. There were a lot of rough influences in my life, tough living circumstances. You know, there were about 10 or 11 of us. We lived in a 4-room house. You know, you can figure out, you know, what we did at night, right? I still struggle when I go to a hotel and it has that bed that has 4 posts because I used to sleep under the table and it just gives me that sensation that I'm still under the table, you know? I can't handle that bed. But, you know, the second 20 years of my life have been incredible. You know, I've been a disciple for 20 years and over the 20 years, I've seen God use, you know, over 15 men in a powerful way to influence my life. There is no way that I can pay these guys back. You know, there had been lots and lots of cracks in my character, in my emotional well-being, but God brought people in my life to be able to provide healing that I needed. You know, I was invited to church by Peter Hart. You know, he had thick glasses, he had long hair, blue eyes. I mean, it's like the unlikeliest person to invite me to church. And that's God, that's who God brought. And you know what was amazing? You know, Peter Hart invited me for Bible studies and we did some studies. And then he said, let's go out and check out our church. And we hopped in a taxi together. And I was relying on Peter Hart to decide where we were going to jump off in a taxi. I mean, it's like, how bizarre is that? Here I am with a white guy in a taxi, and he's showing me where we must go in Bree Street taxi rank. I mean, I was like, wow, I mean, we will get killed, you know? I mean, what is this? And I went to church for the very first time at John Orr Technical School. And I saw something that I had never seen before. And I always look back and I think, wow, God is amazing. Right. You know, in Ephesians 3, verse 1, you know, Paul says that, you know, you were dead in your sins and your transgressions. You know, he says, man, Satan, the king of the air. You know, why does he use the air? Because air is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. He says, Satan is in control of this world. He had us. And, you know, you may think that, well, I don't know if Satan has me. You know, Satan is in control. You know, think about the most powerful constitutional courts in the world. You know, Satan, that's his playing ground, right? In South Africa here, you know, the Bible says that we must spank our children, right? You spare the rod, you spoil the child. That happens here in Cape Town, right? Okay, so I just wanted to make sure because I wasn't getting a response there. But you know, the South African Constitutional Court says that, you know, if you spank your child, it is illegal and you will go to jail. And that is the work of Satan. You know, I mean, do you think that our government cares about our children? Now, if you think that they care, just help me process this. You know, they say that a 15-year-old child can abort a child and their parent doesn't even have to know about it and it's not even going to be recorded. They cannot protect a human life. They will advertise, come in, we give free abortions in our government hospitals. God says, I knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He says, I already wrote your name. And they say that that's nothing. It's something to just be disposed of. You know, God says, you know, we must marry, you know, one wife and love her and be faithful to her. And they say that you can have multiple wives. It's okay. We don't even have to register them. We'll register the first one. The subsequent ones, you know, it's between you and the people. Right? What about homosexuality? Right? All powerful governments in the world are saying that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. That's what we were up against. You know, even our own body, you know, Paul says, you know, all the desires in your body, the desires of your flesh were pulling you away from God. You know, he says, you were dead. You had no chance. And God showed up and he said, Lazarus, get out of the grave. And you and I were saved. You know, our salvation is a miracle. No one could save themselves. That's why Paul repeats it over and over. He says, so that no one could boast. This is a gift from God. You and I, to be here today, is a miracle from God. And I look at that and I think, man, this is such a big ticket item for me. Salvation changes everything in my life. But there are also small ticket items, right? An ID book, right? You have an ID book. I mean, there are people who will kill, who will give an arm and a leg just to lay their hands on a green barcoded ID book. And what did we do to get the ID book? We were just born on the other side of the Limpopo River. That's all that we did, right? Just to be born on a different side of the Limpopo River, you get this thing and it changes. I mean, I drive around in Pretoria. There's a place called Marabastad, and people sleep there from the night before, queuing up just so that they can get a stamp on their asylum papers to allow them to be in South Africa. They sleep there the night before. And I'm like, wow, what did I do? I was just born and handed this book. And I don't have to queue up here. You know, we've got food and clothes that we like, right? We've got work, we've got our homes, you know, a good cup of coffee. You know, I have this little machine that makes coffee exactly the same way I like it every single time I have a cup of coffee. It's like, that's amazing. It's like, that's incredible. And all I need is a machine that throws in the sugar exactly the same way I like it. Or give up sugar at least. That'll be easy. That's consistent, right? We've got money in the bank. We've got a stable economy. We've got so much going for us. There is always something to be grateful for in life. You know, we have to learn to recognize the small things. Are you training yourself to be grateful? Because gratitude is a biblical expectation. You know, gratitude is a relational inspiration. You know, after 20 years, I realized that the more grateful you are as a person, the better your relationships will be. You know, consider Paul. He moved from town to town, sometimes very quickly, sometimes abruptly, because people wanted to arrest him or beat him. And when you look at the relationships that he built all across, I mean, they were phenomenal. Now, does it mean that he always encountered great people? No. Remember how sometimes he talks about false brothers in the church, right? He says he encountered a false brother, and he, you know, sometimes he names them. Sometimes he doesn't reveal their name. But it's like, you know, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten publicly. He was humiliated. But he was a master at building relationships. You know, what helped him? What was his secret? Consider these verses. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4. He says, talking about the church in Corinth. I mean, let's remember, you know, some of the things that were going on in the church, right? You know, a guy was sleeping with his father's wife, and they were getting drunk on communion, and there was all kinds of things. But this is what Paul says. He says in chapter 1, verse 4, he says, I always thank God for you. In Ephesians 1, verse 16, he says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. In Philippians 1, verse 3, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In Colossians 1, verse 3, he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, he says, we always thank God for all of you. You know, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, we also thank God continually for you. In chapter 3, verse 9, it says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, it says, we have all this to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so. You know, in chapter 2, verse 13 says, we have always thanked God for you, brothers, loved by God. 2 Timothy 1, 3 says, I thank God with a clear conscience as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Philemon 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Wow. I mean, wouldn't you want to be close to a guy like that? You know, he thinks about you. He thanks God for you. He prays for you constantly. You know, gratitude is a relational inspiration. You know, he had so many people that he connected with, people who loved him, and he loved them dearly. You know, thankful people are joyful people. They are not affected by circumstances around them. They are a joy to be around. Now think about it. Your afternoon. Given a choice, who would you rather spend this afternoon with? A person who is generally grateful or someone who complains about everything? You know, thankful people in humility consider others better than themselves. You know, my wife is probably one of the most intelligent people I have ever come across. You know, she is beautiful. I mean, she is she's incredible. She, you know, I have never lost a game of 30 seconds to any couple while I'm with my wife on the same team. Okay? Now, I don't don't know, maybe you and your wife are good and you would like to give us a try. And, you know, but I mean, it's like I pick up a card and, you know, my biggest stress when I pick up a card is whether I know what's on the card, not whether she can answer it. If I know what's on the card, I know she's got the answer. I mean, I can ask her about arts, she gets it right. I can ask her about sports, she gets it right. I mean, she knows all kinds of, you know, soccer teams. I mean, we can even go to a soccer match for a date. I mean, who does that? I mean, I've got it good, right? I mean, it's like, wow, I know. You know, it's like, man, I mean, this is amazing, right? You know, I can ask her about music. You know, she's got the answer. I can ask her about history. She's got the answer. It's like, I mean, and then she is a good cook. You know, she cooks better than my mother, you know? I'm just saying, you know, and she is cultured, you know, she is respectful. I mean, she is got an amazing sense of humor. She can strike up a conversation with just about anybody. We've traveled all over the world, and it's like we actually use public transport everywhere we go because I know my wife has figured out the language. She's going to find someone to ask directions, and we'll get there. I mean, it's like, and then, you know, she is cultured. I mean, she is a rural Zulu woman when she needs to be, right? There are some things I don't have to explain to her. It's just like, it just works. It makes sense. You know, she is a precious gift from God. But guess what? When I am not grateful, I don't see all of that. I can break her down. I can, you know, bring about all kinds of negative things that make it feel insecure. It depends on what you focus on. If I said today, you know, how many people are wearing something red? You know, when you look around, you're going to see a lot of red in the hall because that's what you're focusing on. If you focus on the negative things in life, you become critical of others. And sooner or later, no one is good enough for you. How grateful are you today? You know, what will your family say about you when it comes to gratitude? You know, what will your colleagues say about you when it comes to gratitude? Your relatives. Well, Temba, you know, I'm grateful. I just don't express it much. No. The Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is gratitude so much that it's just oozing out of you? Who can you thank today? Who can you thank this week? Who can you thank this month? Can you just go down a list and write down people that have had a phenomenal impact in your life that you can call up and say, thank you for making a difference in my life? Because it changes relationships. It changes relationships. Gratitude is a powerful motivation. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 to 10, Paul says, I am the least of the apostles, and I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You know, Paul is one of the most motivated Christians that you can read about in the Bible. He felt like he did not deserve anything. God's grace made him work harder. You know, he said, man, I was dead. And through the grace of God, I've been made alive. I have a role to play. He says, why would I not work hard? You know, can you imagine, you know, Lazarus lying down in a fetal position and saying, I miss the grave. You know, how peaceful I was in that grave. It doesn't make sense, right? You expect him to be the first guy to volunteer and say, man, what should I do? I can't believe I'm alive. I was dead. And now, look at me. I'm jumping around. Come on, let's go. You show me a Christian who's unmotivated, I will show you someone who has lost gratitude for what God has done for them. When we are ungrateful, we become unmotivated, and that is a perfect recipe for lukewarmness. And you show me anybody that is grateful, I show you someone who is motivated. And that is a powerful combination for passion. You know, it's very easy for us to get distracted with many things. You know, as we enjoy our festive period, you know, our country will go through a lot of ups and downs, and we're going to encounter people who are filled with negative thoughts, and, you know, there's a big conference coming up at the end of the year, and people are anxious, and others can't wait, you know, to just say, I was the first one to predict that we would be headed for disaster in this country. And we've got to remember that we are Lazarus. That man, you know, wow, we are alive. You know, you can doubt God and his providence if his track record is not good in your life. But if God's track record in his ability to provide for you is impeccable, then you have no reason to doubt God and his ability to provide. You know, will it rain in Cape Town? Of course it's going to rain. Will the dams fill up? Of course they're going to fill up. It's just a matter of time before God shows up. You know, when the Israelites were standing there and they had the Egyptians behind them and they were, you know, I almost said, and they were tempted to say to Moses, but I remember they actually said to Moses, you know, we are going to die here. We were better off in Egypt as slaves and making bricks. And Moses says, just be still, because the guys you see today, you will never see them again. And sometimes God waits for that perfect moment when we think to ourselves, you know, we have tried everything and this could only have been because of God. Think about it. Such an amazing province that you live in. It's got all the resources, but without God's providence, it cannot go anywhere. And sometimes that's a good reminder for us to remember as we build for ourselves that, man, it all begins with God. And go on our knees and say, God, God, thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do for us. And I hope that as you go through this afternoon and you go through this week and you go through this month and you go through the years that you still have, that you will remember that gratitude is a biblical expectation. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, our holy God, we come before you. We thank you so much for the incredible example that you have for us, for Paul in the Bible. Thank you so much for just the rich scriptures that just pop out and help us to be able to remember who we are, God, to strive to become better people, to cultivate in our hearts a spirit of gratitude, God, mm-hmm. to remember that it takes small practice, that it's a simple notebook and a pen and just sitting down and reflecting on your goodness and the goodness of other people, God. And Father, to note these down and remind ourselves that we are not here because of of our own strength and wisdom and careful planning. But we are here because of you and the people that you have provided to rescue us, God. Father, we pray that as we go through our activities and festivities, and we are tempted to follow the ways and the patterns of this world, and we are tempted to complain, we are tempted to be downcast, that God, we will be brought out of it, God. We will be reminded that if it wasn't because of you, that God, we would not be here today, God. That Satan has gotten a hold of this world, but we are not of this world. That we trust in you. We pray for relationships, God, that have broken down, perhaps because we have lost our gratitude in those relationships. Help us, God, to go back and think about things that have changed our lives immensely as a result of the people that are in our lives, God. Father, we thank you so much that you are a gracious God, that you are a loving God, that you are a kind and merciful God, that with you, everything is possible. Help us to have the hearts of children that believe that the best in every situation, God. We know that even the challenges that we face today, they are a mere act of strengthening our faith, God. I pray for each and everyone in here, God, that if there are people that are hurting in their relationships, if there are people that are hurting in their marriages, if there are people who are tempted to look at themselves and feel sorry for their health condition and feel sorry for their circumstances, that God, you will pull them out of that dark place, God, and remind them that there is always something to be grateful for. We pray for all of this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.